This is the Book Legion Podcast, where we review thought-provoking books to give our Legionnaires the knowledge they need to dominate the next level of their life.
Thanks, everybody, for joining me on the Book Legion. This is your host, Tizer Evans, and today I want to be covering the book, The NFT Revolution 2021. So first, normally I would start with who the author is. This is written by Crypto Dukedom, which I have no idea who that is. So I think it's an alliance of people that wrote the book. What's interesting about the book, it's like three different books written into one. So it says it's two in one for NFT Revolution of Crypto Art and NFT Revolution of Real Estate. Both packed in this book, but really it's like a three in one. So the first section is going to cover what is crypto, what is blockchain, what is an NFT versus a non-NFT, and what NFT stands for is a non-fungible token versus a fungible token. And really fungible, all it means is, right, like if you're thinking about it in terms of currency, our currency is fungible. You can fund something else, where a non-fungible token is really you're buying an asset, right? So like buying a piece of stock is very liquid. So that would be something that's fungible. The way I look at something, an NFT is like a non-fungible. It's something that's not quite as liquid, although in this scenario it is. But when you think of typically like art and real estate, it takes a while to sell them. Like usually art goes to an auction or an art house, right? If you're selling real estate, you have to find the right type of prospective buyer that has financing to be able to buy the asset. It's not simply like I'm getting on and liquidating all of my positions in Apple on the marketplace exchange today. That makes it a lot more liquid, or having liquidity makes it easier to get in and out of your position, which is much harder to do when you have collectibles such as art, or if you have a valuable piece of music or a sculpture, or when it comes to real estate. So that's the difference between, in my version, again, please go look this up. There's a million different videos on YouTube versus non-fungible and fungible tokens, but NFT stands for non-fungible token, right? And so what this book just dives into is where we are. And so I already had a strong understanding. I've done a YouTube video on the age of cryptocurrency, which is a book I recovered early on, which gives you the whole history of how Bitcoin was created. This is simply about NFTs. So again, I'll cover my biggest three top takeaways for this book. So there's not really any chapters because it's really talking about really primarily two different things, but I'll give you my big three takeaways. So let's jump into that. So the first big takeaway for me was shit, man, just realizing what an NFT was. And so I was not, you know, it's one of those things that I had my pulse. I was buying crypto since 2017 was I got into it. But, you know, I would say if you asked me, Ty, put a gun to your head, you have to pick a political party, I would say I'm probably libertarian. You know, I don't really care socially about who you want to marry, those types of things, but I'm not into government overreach on my money or how I spend it. So that's just kind of how I identify. So being that I've been a libertarian, or, you know, a part of the Libertarian Party since probably 2006, 2007, way before it was cool, I heard about crypto early on in 2010, 2011 when it first was released, because people like Max Kaiser were talking about it on different type of libertarian type channels. So, you know, for me, the first big takeaway with going back through this is just realizing that like it could be used in a different setting than currency. I never thought about the blockchain being able to use for a hard asset. And so that part was really cool, because what it does is that it solves all of these problems where you can be authenticated as a encrypted user, basically meaning you have your wallet address, but no one knows who you are, what's going on. There's no blockage to you trying to sell your house or sell your car or sell a piece of artwork, right? That's the whole point of the decentralized currency. So it made a lot of sense that people would start to make digital art or digital music as one of a kind. And that's really my first takeaway was, one, that you could use the technology of blockchain And all blockchain really does, right? Blockchain is a really the way I like to think of it again. And please, those of you, be generous to me. You know, I'm not someone that's heavily in this space. But what I my general terms of what blockchain is you're using an algorithm to complete a mathematical equation that then validates the transaction between two people. So say that I am using Bitcoin and I want to go and buy a cup of coffee and I'm going to send my Bitcoin to the coffee shop. All that happens is then the program, the Bitcoin, the blockchain technology sends out a sequence that has to be completed on the blockchain spectrum ecosystem. And you have all these different competing computers that all these competing computers are what they're trying to do is validate the transaction. So a mathematical problem basically got put out there that this person have the money to be able to pay for the coffee. And then someone else's computer validates that, yes, Ty has the actual Bitcoin in his wallet to enough to be able to pay for the cup of coffee. And once they validate the transaction on the blockchain, then it becomes a ledger on the blockchain. And then the money is sent to the vendor, right, or to the other person once they validate that it is in its wallet. But the cool part is it's the ecosystem of other people validating the transaction as opposed to a centralized bank. You know, typically we're used to our banks validating the transaction. Chase and Wells Fargo are going to validate whether or not I have enough money to go to the grocery store and buying my groceries, right? Buying my milk and my eggs and that type of stuff. Well, in this ecosystem, other people are validating the transactions. And for doing so, they get rewarded by Bitcoin or whatever currency is. And that is what we call mining. When you're mining, you're simply just validating the transactions that two parties actually have. One has the asset and the other one has a wallet to receive the asset because they're selling some type of product, good, or service, or whatever it is, right? So I didn't realize, that was the first big takeaway, that you could do that with really anything. I, for whatever reason, was just thinking that you created this to like for a technology piece. So that goes kind of moves into my second big takeaway, was that you could have this for art, and that makes it really special, right? If you're able to create a song, so let's think about what an NFT again, it is something that's non-fungible, so something that's going to be like one of a kind. So if I were to create a song, and let's call it the Viking Warrior Song, for a back of a letter term, I'm going to create this Viking Warrior Song, something I created, but I'm going to put it up, and you can buy this one song. And so when you buy this one song, you own the rights to the song. So the only way they could ever get played on the radio or it could ever get mass produced is if you decided that it gets put on the radio. And so that's the cool part, is that you're buying something that's an asset, like, right, like it's a home. You can't sell a home or sell several different pieces of a home like a stock unless it becomes like a REIT, right? It becomes an asset that gets put in with a bunch of other assets. And so this is the idea that you cannot listen to that song or an album or a piece of art or whatever it is that an artist makes unless you own that exact one. So what an NFT is, and what you've seen with the Bored Ape Yacht Club, which is probably the most, or Cyberpunks, which is probably the most prolific digital art NFT. And so what it is that a programmer, a designer, they basically use a computer program to design seals, or in this case, apes. And they make all these different apes. They make 10,000 different apes. And each one is one of a kind. And some will come with more favorable characteristics, meaning that like out of the 10,000, only one is going to have a smoking pipe. And so it's going to make it way more valuable. Where versus, you know, 1,000 are going to come with green backgrounds. So if you get the one with turquoise background, it might be a lot more valuable than the one with green background, right? So there's all these different variations, but each one is unique. And so when you buy that one piece of digital art of that one ape, and say the ape's got a ball cap, a green background, and a smoking pipe, well, then it's like, okay, well, how many other apes have a green background, a smoking pipe, with that type of hat? Maybe there's five others. So this is how you start to come up with its value, is by the scarcity effect of supply and demand. This one is a lot more scarce because it has characteristics that you can't find in other pieces of artwork. So that is kind of the premise of this big thing with all this, the Bored Apes and the cyberpunks. They're pieces of digital art that have been created by somebody that are one of a kind. And the way that they're one of a kind is the blockchain validates that it has its own ledger saying that this basically blockchain identifier is to this one piece of artwork. So when you sell the piece of artwork, you always have that code sequence identifying that one piece of digital art. So I may be doing a terrible job explaining that, and I'm really sorry if I am and you're watching this. This is why you should go read the book. So the book jumps into what crypto art is, and then jumps into crypto real estate. And I'm fascinated by crypto real estate. There's really four primary channels. There's Axie Infinity, The Sandbox, Decentraland, and I'm drawing a blank on the fourth one. I know it starts with an S. Sonium, I think is the fourth one. There's these different types of basically website where imagine you've played The Sims, right? Or maybe you've played Minecraft. My kids are big on Minecraft, where you basically are entering a virtual world. In the virtual world, there's only, again, kind of like the art pieces, there's only a certain amount of plots of land in a world. So say I'm entering into The Sandbox marketplace. Well, The Sandbox only has a certain amount of like skyscrapers, houses, our parks, our different types of digital real estate. So you can enter their marketplace and enter their ecosystem and say buy a building. And I can turn the building into, say, like a subway. And then people who are in the meta universe, and if you need to go feed your character because they're low on food or whatever it is, then you could go feed them Subway. And if you enter my Subway and you have to use some of your cryptocurrency that goes along with the Sandbox, because the Sandbox has their own cryptocurrency, and say you had to, I charged you for a sandwich, or say that my building was a hotel and your character was going to go sleep at night in my hotel, I can actually charge real dollars for that. Real dollars. People are doing this. They can charge real dollars for the sandwich in Subway. Or they can charge you real dollars for rent for your character actually sleeping in their type of hotel. And so you're going to get to a point where virtual real estate, if you own a piece of property, it'd be like, well, I'm in the game and I want to go to the beach for the week, right? And I want to go play with my friends at the beach in our game. In our virtual game. Well, then I maybe need to rent somebody's virtual Airbnb that's at the beach, and I would pay them $1,000 to use their property at the beach. And so for me, I was really, and I am really, really interested in the idea, because I think that the NFTs and the crypto space is the biggest wealth transfer of our generation. And so if I can buy a plot of land online for $10,000 right now, but in the future, I'll be able to rent that plot of land in the metaverse for $10,000 a month. Man, I want to look into that now. And that's already what's happening. So there's a lot of money to be made. And so for me, I want to get in on an early understand, just like I would if I were to go to buy a physical apartment building here. How does that translate there? Can I buy an apartment building in the NFT space online in the meta universe? Yes, you can. So there's a tremendous amount of opportunity. So this book, it's not a very long book. It's 158 pages. Again, but it's like having three books in one. So you almost get like three books in one in 158 pages. I think it cost me like $15 online. It's a pretty easy read. I don't know who the author is, so I can't give it credit, but I would definitely recommend it. And that's why I wanted to cover it, because it was like one of those books that it wasn't a real strategic buy for me. I was like, shit, it's got like 20 reviews and they're pretty decent. It's a 2-in-1 guide. I'm interested, and I've already had bought NFTs at that point, the artwork, but I'm very interested in buying the real estate. So I bought it. It was an easy read. I knocked it out in 4 or 5 days. I would highly recommend it if you're someone who wants just a very broad level education. What is crypto? What is blockchain? And what is an NFT? Go check out the NFT Revolution 2021 by Crypto Dukedom. I will post the link to the book in the show notes. So if you're watching this on YouTube or you're listening to this on a podcast, you guys will be able to log on and go grab the book. getting something like $15. And if you guys haven't done so, please subscribe to the podcast. I really appreciate it. I drop episodes once a week. And check out my other podcast, Grind Sell Elevate, where I interview business professionals that are the best at what they do, whether it's sales, leadership, entrepreneurship, SEO, marketing, you name it. It is out there. The people I've interviewed, I've done three today. So Grind Sell Elevate on all podcast channels. And thank you so much for listening to this one. My Legionnaires, talk to you guys soon. Dum 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 d